What is up, everyone? Welcome to Top Blues USA, your source for all things Everton American style. I'm Jerry. I'm back after a couple of weeks hiatus due to busy life and non-COVID related sicknesses, which are still lingering. So if I seem more ridiculous than usual, you know why. Joining me, as is his wont, is a nice fella from right around up around Cincinnati way. We've got Jake Holton's with us again. Jake, missed you, bud.
Yeah, missed you too, Jerry. Hope you're feeling better soon, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is this is better than I was. So Jake is back. Jake, are you allowed to talk about where you were?
What do you mean?
Are you allowed to talk about where you were?
I mean,
I feel like I'm setting you up right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were going to take it. I don't know.
So we had some fighters getting ready for some MMA fights, and I was helping out in those fight camps. It was brutal and my body really hurt and I was really busy all the time. Our fighters did great. We went down to Bowling Green, Kentucky a couple weekends ago and came away with a clean sweep, 3-0. Dude. Came back with an amateur MMA belt. All told, it was great. Although the guy I went down with, we didn't plan very well, so we didn't have a hotel room originally, but somebody had like an extra room. But I didn't bring any extra clothes. I had to sleep in jeans and a flannel, which was not great. And then I woke up and I took a shower and had to put on the same jeans and flannel that I slept in, which was also not great. And then I had to take a 3-hour car ride home to Cincinnati in the same jeans and flannel.
So when you took them off, they were like still standing up without your body.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I wanted to burn them. I wanted to burn them immediately. I never wanted to see them again.
Oh, I totally get that. That totally reminds me of the drive to Indianapolis and subsequently to Des Moines, Iowa with no air conditioning. That was, yeah, when I just was way grosser than normal. Oh my gosh. Yes, dude. Well, showers were had. There was much rejoicing. Very cool. Jake, you're like the only person who lives this MMA trainer life that I don't know anybody else who does this. It's kind of cool.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, you gotta
you're like my real life Mickey.
You gotta be a little bit crazy to do it, you know. I mean, and we're hoping to move me into that cage here very, very soon ish, as long as I can get my act together. So
Jake. Holy crap. That's huge.
Yeah, but I mean, there is still a lot of work to be done, and it's all on my shoulders, and I just have to buckle down and do it. But you know, as long as I can show that I can do that, I don't see any reason why I can't compete, and not only compete but win. So,
okay, Jake. So you're my bodyguard whenever I travel from now on. I got problems with this kind of thing. I just need to make sure Jake can put them in some kind of hold, get them to submit.
Like, you might want somebody a little bit taller for a bodyguard. Let's be honest here.
Why?
Well, I mean, you know, my skills have their limits. If it's, you know, some 6'4", 250-pound jack guy, I'm not going to mess with him. I don't want any part of that. You know.
Are you immediately telling me, like, look, I wouldn't be a great bodyguard?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Bodyguards has its limits, you know. You got to be kind of taller to be a bodyguard. If I was taller, I'd be all over it, but, you know.
I didn't realize there was, like, a height requirement, you know. I just thought if you were, like, jacked and knew your stuff, you're fine, man.
I mean, theoretically, it could work. I could take him down real easy and...
This is the Jake I want to hear. This is good.
You know, just, I don't know. I would feel nervous if you got into a scuffle with a 6'4" dude somewhere.
Dude, yeah, I think it'd be great watching you topple that dude. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Perhaps one day.
I got so much faith in Jake, and Jake's just like, no, I'm aware of my limitations, sir. I'll be like getting Jake into all kinds of trouble. Jake's like, no, that guy's big. No, Jerry, let's take that back. Let's not insult the man's team, the big man's team. All right, so Jake, you were at fight camp, which you're fully allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was
no
great.
rules, which is cool. So yeah, good stuff, man. So before we get started, Jake, I gotta throw a shout out and a big thank you to Brian Molina from the Utah Toffees.
Hey.
Sent me a rocking Utah Toffees
Wow,
scarf.
that is cool.
Freaking awesome.
Those guys have to be amazing. Like that's amazing right there.
Yeah, it's
Look at that. That's so
very
cool.
cool. It's a very cool scarf. I was very tickled when this came in the old in the mail. My
In the
family flipped
post.
about it. So yeah, just throwing it out there,
Very
everybody.
neat.
You Toffees are cool folks. And Brian, I want to tell you thank you. This will be mounted up there.
Shout out to the
Okay.
Utoffies.
Yes. You Toffees, thanks so much, Brian, and hope to talk to you again soon. Okay. So anything else going on with you that I need to know about?
Not much, except for I'm going to be writing a piece on Anthony Gordon for Toffee Blues. How about
I
that?
have heard of him and I've heard of them, oddly enough. It's crazy.
So that should be, I'm going to do that tonight. I should be
I
ready
didn't know you were doing
tomorrow.
that. That's awesome.
So I actually had wrote up a match report after, like, immediately after the Manchester United game went final. John was like, "Ah, well, somebody already did one." And I'm like, "Oh, well, that's cool." And he was like, "Oh, no, I don't want you to like waste that work." And I'm like, "John, it's really not a big deal. Like, I'm just happy to be able to like even put that out there, like as something that was done in an official kind of manner." So just it's cool. We'll figure something else out. You know,
Yeah, man, that's
very accommodating, very accommodating. So, but he's like, "Hey, do you want to like do something on a player?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And I'm like racking my brain. I'm like, it would be really easy for me to write something about how great Abdoulaye Doucouré has been to start the season, or you know, how much of an impact Andras Townsend has made, or Demarai Gray has made, or you know, how much we kind of miss Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But I'm like, you know what? Anthony Gordon had a good match against Manchester United. He played pretty well like in the cup match, although I think he had a better match against Manchester United, which is really funny to me. And he's kind of in an interesting place in his development, and I kind of want to touch on Anthony Gordon and talk about the Scouse lad a little bit.
yeah, man, that's awesome. I'm eager to check that out because and we're going to talk, obviously we're going to talk more about the United match later. Again, sorry, guys. Everybody, I'm going to be coughing some this episode, and this is the hazard. This is what you signed up for when you push play, just letting you know.
Jerry is
So
playing hurt.
yeah, this is just like, and I mean exactly like that Michael Jordan flu game.
Exactly like it. It's the
Just
same
like
thing.
it, these similarities are eerie, everyone. I think a lot of the folks in England right now are like, I don't know what that is. Just no carbon copy situation. So anyway, yeah, we're going to talk more about that match later. Right now, as we speak, as this is being recorded Thursday evening, as we speak right now, the U.S. men's national team is playing against Jamaica. It is currently looks like it is nil-nil right now. Yeah, 29 minutes in.
30 minutes in.
Yeah. And yeah, so that means only one thing for all you cool cats out there. It's the international break, and I know we love it so much. We love it. great.
Yes.
Sorry. I just don't know anybody who freaking loves the international.
Nobody does. Nobody likes it. It's the worst. It's the bane of my existence as a club soccer fan.
It's like junk mail. You know what I mean?
I wish we could just get rid of international friendlies when there are no big competitions that are being qualified for. Just scrap international breaks. Just take a break. If you want to do breaks, it's fine. Cool. Like a week break in there sometime. Great. International breaks. Terrible. Just terrible.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. U.S. men's national team is playing. I'll probably watch. You know, like when I get out of here, as soon as we finish recording, I may go turn on the TV for a hot minute, watch, see how the game's going. I think they play interesting soccer right now. I think we're a little maybe overrated in the world scheme, you know, in the world rankings. I think we're a little
higher. A little overrated. Yeah, a little overrated.
If we're being honest, you know, I don't like to sit there and, you know, I'm not poo-pooing it. I just think we haven't proven anything yet, you know? So let's qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah, I'm still nervous about that. I'm not completely sold that they're going to at this point in time. So
I'm not either at all. We've lived through the disappointment of seeing it like slip through your fingers, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, do I think this is a bad US team? Not at all. I think there's a lot of talent on it.
Talent wise is great. Like it's probably talent wise, maybe not yet, but it will be probably the greatest group of U.S. men's national team players ever, perhaps. I mean, it would rival those guys who played in the 2010 and 2014 World Cup, like that class. I mean, it would definitely rival those guys in their prime.
Look at their qualifications. Look at the clubs that some of these kids are playing at.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there's a lot of really good talent here. I think the only thing that's really in question, more than the talent, is Berhalter the guy. You know, he's trying to like sort of invent this U.S. like soccer style and culture, which, you know, it's odd the way it's kind of going down. It's really strange watching the U.S. play, because I think sometimes you never know what they're going to do. How are they going to play? But anyway, international break. I just don't know. Yeah. So anyway, what was your prediction for this one? U.S. Jamaica?
I mean, Jamaica's not super talented. They're trying to get a lot better players in the door, and I think eventually they might succeed, because, you know, some of these players that they're trying to get in the door are probably not going to make their national teams in the country that they want to. But right now it's still a pretty weak side. They've got a good keeper. They've got the Philadelphia Union keeper, who is, you know, he's one of the best in the MLS. He's very good. They got Bobby Reed, who plays at
De Cordova.
Yeah, that's it. He plays at Fulham, I believe. I know he was playing at Cardiff for a little while. They've got Andre Gray, but he's not starting tonight. He's on the bench. You know, there's a little talent on that Jamaica side, but this is a U.S. side that should be winning that match 2-0, probably, I believe.
So I am going to be more boring and negative and say a 1-1 draw.
I mean, that honestly feels probably more realistic from what we've seen in those first three matches, which were very lackluster and very well could have been 4 points maybe total of those three matches. Pretty lucky to come away with a win in that last match, I would say. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they can... Hopefully they can be better.
Yeah. So anyway, it'll be an interesting to kind of see how they go. I will say, I would love to get super excited about U.S. men's soccer team. Love to.
It would be great. I mean, that's what got me into Everton. So come on.
It did. I mean, that was a lot of people, man. That was a lot of people, for real. So that's going on. More, you know, just as recently today, this news about Newcastle being taken over is a thing. We may now have an additional financially backed club that's going to be, we're going to be pretty loaded. And there's a lot of controversy about the ownership and who actually owns them and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden you hear all these, oh, they're going to try to get Rafa back stuff. I just don't have that much of an opinion on it. Do you, Jake?
I went through kind of a wave of emotions today where I'm kind of like,
did you?
Yeah. Because this takeover makes Newcastle, I think, and now I'm not going to be 100% on this because I don't know exactly, but I think that makes them the richest club in the world.
That's what all of these tables and graphics I'm seeing. I just don't know how reliable they are. You know what I mean? I need to see more than just a graphic.
If that is the case, on paper, that's incredibly terrifying for somebody like Everton. And I might have used the wrong words. I was talking to some other Everton supporters, and I'm like, well, I don't want Everton to be less relevant than they are right now. And I'm not saying they're irrelevant right now, but they're certainly not the richest club in the world. They're certainly not one of those Sky Six teams. And they've kind of been toiling in mediocrity for the past three seasons or so. And on paper, I'm like, I really don't want Sky Sports and a bunch of bandwagon fans, and I don't want Newcastle buying up all this talent and just... It kind of put me off, and I'm like, but then, you know, I'm starting to get reassurances from people like, well, they would need to have a good scouting system. They would need to have a great manager, and they would need to have a vision to use their wealth properly. And right now they have Steve Bruce at the helm. They have a scouting network that is probably not cream of the crop, and their talent right now is, we've seen, relegation level. And a massive takeover like that doesn't guarantee that a team is going to survive relegation. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of gone back and forth. I don't really know how to feel about it. I'm hugely not a fan of the owners. Some of the stuff they've done is just appalling.
Yeah, that's the thing that got the emotional rise out of me. That's what got more of an emotional rise out of anything, you know,
I'm kind of like, I don't really see the benefit of the Premier League allowing this to go through with those particular owners. I mean, I understand that you want to keep it kind of open and let teams do sell to whomever, but at a certain point, like, you're talking about people who have had journalists murdered, and you want that in your sport? Like, I don't know. And I get it, shut up and play, it's fine.
I think you and I have a lot of similar, like, you know, the way we view life. I feel like we've kind of talked about this kind of stuff a lot. It's hard to kind of come to terms with that part of it, I'll be honest. But also, I've started to kind of, I feel like I'm a little bit more, I think about, does this have, can Everton control any of this? No. Is this maybe going to have an impact on us at some point? Maybe. I don't know. But I'm kind of like, you know, this is going to happen whether I get pissed or not.
Right.
You know, which is a really kind of defeatist mentality, maybe, but it's also kind of this is kind of the league, right? You have the money, and if you can separate yourself technically with some paperwork that says, oh, we're not that government, well, then technically the league's gonna be cool with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's their loophole, right? Is they had a legally binding document that said the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is not in control of Newcastle United Football Club. And I kind of roll my eyes, right? Because I'm like, yeah, sure, the physical like government of Saudi Arabia is not in charge, but their right-hand man is like, all right, cool, I got this. And I'm just like, that's gross. It's just gross. And but I mean, like, good for Newcastle, I guess. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. I mean, $200 billion or whatever the hell it is not gonna guarantee that you're gonna be a good football team. Like, you still gotta scout properly. You still have to transfer people in and out properly. You still have to have the proper coach. You have to have proper scouting. And just like, a Newcastle doesn't exactly have the track record of being that kind of club. So, and it's not the same as when Manchester City and Chelsea had their takeovers. You know what I'm saying? Like, the rules are so much different now, and I don't know what financial fair play is going to be to them. I don't know. I mean, obviously they've spent hardly anything, so they're probably in a pretty good spot financially right now. But what if they miss on three or four players, and then miss on three or four more players, and then boom, financial fair play right in your face. So I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's a very interesting story, I think, on a couple of different fronts, and I am intrigued on how it's going to play out. Now, the Rafa part of it, I don't know. I'm sure they'll call him. Will he answer? He might pick up the phone to see what they have to say, but will he leave? That's a stretch. I think that's a bit of a stretch. I think he knows if he leaves Everton at this stage, after finally winning them over after a tumultuous summer and going to Newcastle for more money, like, he would be run out of Liverpool. Like, he would just be straight up run out of Liverpool. They wouldn't want him there. Like, just, it'd be rough.
I'm not worried about it. I'm not thinking about it. You know, that's the thing. It's like I heard everybody mentioning it and I was like, you know what I mean? I think we're performing well right now, and at this point, I feel like people are getting settled. I think our financial hole is starting to we're starting to crawl out of it. So I'm really curious about, transfers this coming summer. I don't expect a whole lot going on in the winter. I think maybe a loan or two, if we're fortunate. Rafa ends up leaving, we'll have to figure something else out. You know,
We'll
that's
be
the thing. I
okay.
mean,
Like, I think we'll be
yeah.
okay. Will it hurt? Yeah, absolutely. Especially after, what he seems to have done with Damari Gray and Andros Townsend. Like, that's the part where we'd be like, okay, well, are these two guys still going to be all right?
Yeah, man, I'm not super worried about it. I will say, I think with a new owner, I do feel like eventually with this much money, Newcastle is gonna be a pretty big deal. I feel like when you have that much money, it's hard not to. So yeah, I do think they're gonna be kind of a big deal. Okay, if you're cool with, getting a bunch of bandwagon fans on board, and if you're cool with having Champions League every year,
That's the other thing, though. I don't know if they'll be able to like attract that many bandwagon fans. It depends on what kind of players you're going to be able to attract, right? Like, I
if
mean,
they're getting paid, they'll be okay, man. They'll be okay.
are they going to be better than Manchester City, though? Are they going to be better than Liverpool, though? I mean, obviously it's going to depend on who they hire as a manager, because I do believe we are like this close to Steve Bruce getting the sack. Like, they're going to sack him immediately.
It's what it seems. That's what I mean. That's the word. That's the word. That's what people are saying.
They'd be crazy not to, honestly. Right now, they'd be absolutely insane to let Steve Bruce ride it out. Because if you let Steve Bruce ride it out, you're surefire at getting relegated. Like,
So anyway,
that's enough Newcastle talk on this
well,
podcast.
that's the thing. It's like, I mentioned it because it's a thing today all over Twitter, and everybody was talking about it. And I was just kind of like,
Yeah, and
It's kind of an eh for me.
the only real link is the links to Rafa Benitez to Everton anyway.
Yep.
So
okay.
I guess now they'll keep Alan St. Maximum though.
I don't know. There's this journalist Keith Azul who says that it's happening. Never steer me wrong.
No. No, he's the best. Oh, Keith.
Absolutely.
Oh man. Anyway.
Just a master of the craft. Oh my gosh. He's an invented an art form, in my opinion, that he's just like, okay.
It's great. And it's top tier.
It's just straight entertainment. Watch this. Watch this.
Somebody always falls for it. It's great.
It's for The Economist. Just a brilliant. I you know what? If I'm just going to say this right now. If Keith Azul chose to write a movie, write a magazine, anything, I'd love to watch that, love to read that, anything. I feel like it's a brilliant comedic mind. Just gonna say it. All right, so changing subjects yet again.
Yes.
Well, normally in this section we have a little time where we get to know the guest. Or whatever, but everybody knows you now. You're a regular. I mean, everybody feels like they've already. I mean, some of them have even had a drink with you by now. So, so instead, I thought of a new segment because it's October. We are going to do scary movie, yay or nay. I will be listing out scary movies. You tell me yay or nay. And if you haven't watched them, give me a yay. All right. We're going to get through that and then we'll roll on to the United review and then we'll head up the mailbag to finish her up. So are you ready? Scary movie, yay or nay?
Yes. Yay.
Okay. Practice. Good rehearsal. All right. Ready. And The Exorcist.
Yeah. Yay. Great film.
The Shining.
Never seen that one. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never actually sat down and watched it.
Got it. The Omen.
Also,
okay.
Yeah, never seen any of that one. Yeah.
Seven.
Haven't seen that one either. I've never even heard
you
of that one.
Haven't seen Seven.
I've never even heard of that one. Who's it got in it?
Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, Kevin Spacey.
Doesn't ring
a
bell.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, doesn't ring a bell.
You go watch Seven, Jake. I don't even know why we should continue this list. Go freaking watch Seven. It's brilliant.
Okay.
Holy
write it down.
David Fincher, man. David
write it
Fincher
down.
Director.
Yeah.
Same dude that did Fight Camp. I mean, Fight Club. Okay.
Seven. All right. I got it.
Do it. Oh my gosh.
I made Jerry very upset here.
I'm so worried about you now. God. Okay. Okay. Moving on somehow. Somehow. The Ring.
Nay, it's not for me.
Don't like The Ring. Interesting.
Not really. Yeah.
Saw.
Yay.
Really? Okay.
Kind of like it gory sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. Get Out.
Yay.
Had a feeling. Paranormal Activity.
Nay.
Okay. Candyman. Classic Candyman, not the new one.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. A Quiet Place.
Ooh, double yay.
Okay. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
The Strangers.
Strangers. I've never seen that one either.
Solid. Very solid. Creepy. Friday the 13th.
There's only one 80s horror movie I think I've probably ever seen.
Halloween?
Yeah. I've seen like 1, 2, 3. I think I might have seen 4. Those are
Did
good.
You yay like, Halloween?
Yeah, I like all 3 of the first ones. I think they're all great.
Cool. The Witch. It's a newer film.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's pretty good. Have you seen Hereditary?
I have not yet, but I've heard I've heard it's mind bending, and I heard it's really scary. So, Jerry,
good new horror. Not easy. And I'll go Japanese with Audition.
Haven't seen it.
Okay. Yeah. A little weird, a little disturbing. It starts off, oh, romantic comedy, and then, oh my God. So yeah, Hellraiser.
Not seen it. There's a lot of these, you know.
Rosemary's Baby.
Haven't seen it.
Blair Witch Project.
Yes. Yay. First one. Second one was maybe one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's so bad. I was laughing during the second one. I was like, what is this acting? This is horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. Poltergeist.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Have you seen The Babadook?
No, I have not seen it.
Okay. And Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I'm going to give this one a yay, but it's really corny. It's kind of corny. Like
the old one?
Yeah, it's it's got some creepy elements, but for the most part, I'm kind of like, it's all right.
So, we've gone through all these. What's your favorite scary movie?
So I really like The Conjuring. The first Conjuring movie was
that's one that should have been on here.
The Conjuring was excellent.
It's a really good one.
Midsommar is one I've watched. Oh man. That one gets me.
I didn't think you would have watched it. That's why I didn't put it on the list.
Man, I've seen that one like 2 or 3 times. That's a scary movie. That is a... It's not... You know what? I think that one's more like a suspense kind of thing. Like, you just don't know. It's more just
really warped.
Yeah, it's mind-bending, that movie. Yeah, I'd say Midsommar's up there.
I saw that in the theater, Jake.
Oh, man. I would have killed to see that in the theater, honestly, because it's... Yeah, it's really good.
You
haven't lived
until you see flowers breathing as a dress on screen.
Yeah, that's crazy. That movie is so insane.
Yeah, what's funny is one of the most disturbing parts of the whole movie is like 10 to 15 minutes in. It's not gory at all.
When the face is in the trees?
No, it's like at her house or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, not
it's
great.
Awful.
Yeah,
it's not awful.
Great. Uh-huh.
Okay, Midsommar. Oh, good. Those are two really good ones, Jake.
Yeah, Midsommar. And I will say The Exorcist is up there on my list as well, the original one.
Mine
it's
too.
It's like it's obviously dated, but
don't care.
It's great.
Yeah.
Like, the acting is really good. I think the special effects are for the time, they're pretty great. When the lights go out in the kitchen and you see that face. That shit gets me it gets me every time. That with that face,
yeah,
it gets me every time. It's terrifying when the lights go out and you see that face. You're like, no, that's flash. Not okay. Yeah, not okay, not okay. Yeah. If I would have seen that in theaters as like a 13-year-old, nah. I saw Conjuring in theaters. That was one that I saw in theaters.
Cool. I didn't see that in theaters. That would have been cool.
Yeah, that was a very scary one in theaters. So.
So yeah, I love The Exorcist because it works on as a drama as well. You watch it. I mean, it's a dramatic film about a family, you know?
And the priests too. Yeah. Both of them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, so it's layered. It just works. I think a lot of my favorites that I like of those, they work on a couple of levels. You know, they're not just scary. They typically work like Hereditary, I feel like is pretty, you know, has some solid drama in it as well.
Carrie's so, yeah. a good one too. I like Carrie.
Which one?
Carrie. The
oh one... gosh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, a very Carrie's good a good one. Yeah.
Carrie's great. That's good. Yes. Jake, you got some good scary movie tastes, man.
I don't really, like the corny yeah, just, stuff, man. Like, I like, give me some good scare. You know what I'm saying?
See, that's, I grew up in an era where I'm supposed to be watching Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th. And I didn't really take to them, you know. I kind of prefer the older ones that actually have a little more substance to the, like, more character. That's just what I want out of stories anyway. So. Anyway, that's one of the reasons why Carrie I like a lot. You know, Carrie's good. Rosemary's Baby is another good one, by the way. That is a good one, character film. But you got to watch Seven. There's just no choice. Go watch okay. Seven.
Okay.
It's just a cool.
Write it down.
Freaking well-crafted movie. It's, you'll finish, you'll be like, oh my gosh, how did I never see this? Okay. Good stuff here. Yes. Moving on. So, it's international break. However, the last, you know, last match we had was this past weekend. Yep. And I'm not going to say spoiler alert, because if you don't know the score by now.
Oh, you know the score. You know the score.
I just don't think you're an Everton supporter at this point.
Yeah, you know the score.
So, 1-1 draw at Old Trafford with United. Our lineup was Pickford, Godfrey, Mina, Keane, Mukadine, Alan, Ducore, Townsend, Gray, and Rondon. Jake, with that lineup, how were you feeling when you saw that come out?
Going into the match, I was expecting like a 2-2 draw. I was honestly expecting a couple of goals, because this is kind of a fixture that kind of creates goals. Everton and Manchester United, especially at Old Trafford. I mean, it was a 6-goal thriller last year. At Old Trafford behind closed doors. So I was expecting a draw when going into the match. I'm like, I don't know. I don't really, United's not in great form. I don't know if they're going to put out a full strength lineup. They ended up not putting out a full strength lineup. You know, Ronaldo and Paul Pogba started on the bench. Anthony Martial got his first start in forever and ended up scoring, but you know,
I mean, I feel like you saw that one coming when you saw he was in the lineup. I mean, you're like, just, you know, he has a tendency to score against us. Yeah,
he does. Yes, he is a perennial scorer against
or everything. Pretend to get fouled in the box. And then, you know,
and you know what, to be fair, I think without the deflection on the shot, I think Pickford would have had it, because if you look,
there was a slight deflection and he definitely got it out of his grasp. That's true.
You look at that and it's like barely past his hands when it flies into the net. So
yeah,
I think without the deflection, probably would have saved it. But yeah, even with the weaker lineup, even with no Dominic Calvert-Lewin, no Richarlison, no Alex Iwobi, no, you know, nobody essentially, except for the.
I like how you slipped Iwobi in there, by the way.
Well, I mean, he's had a good start to the season. I understand.
Yeah, but I was kind of like, with Richarlison and DCL.
I mean, look, the man has played really well. I'm not saying he's not a contributor on the level that Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison are, but you got to give the man some credit when he's playing well.
If you'd have said Seamus Coleman, I'd have been like, okay.
Yeah, no, Seamus Coleman too.
Out
missing. Gbamin still hurt mysteriously somehow. So it was a weak squad, but both sides were weak. You know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer put out a weak lineup. So that to me, when I saw the United lineup, I'm like, we might be able to nick all 3 points here. This might actually give us a shot to nick all 3 points. And to be honest, they probably should have. Had a couple of really good chances, and I would say for the most part created better chances than Manchester United did, with significantly less possession. Damari Gray had a shot from distance that was well saved by David De Gea. Michael Keane had a header that went just wide off of a free kick from Andros Townsend. And the Tom Davies, shouldn't he have taken the shot, played in Yuri Mina, that's been hotly debated. I'm not gonna slot him too much for not taking the shot. Personally, I wish he would have taken it on, and I think with a little bit more confidence, he probably would have. But I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna hammer him because he made a good pass to a Yuri Mina, who, if he would have just held his run just a little bit longer, would have had a tap in. Like, just literally a couple, a second later, he would have had a tap in, and Everton went 2-1. So,
yep.
Played really well. I was impressed.
Yeah, man. I was hoping for the win. We were, as a family, already celebrating when that went in. And then I was like, oh no, hold on. You know, my kids are flipping out, screaming, you know, and yeah. But at the same time, when the game finished, I was like, you know, that's a point at Old Trafford. With, you know, we're missing starters.
Key starters, you know? Too, yeah.
And let's keep in mind where United are in the table. It's not like it's a United squad that's sitting in, like, 10th right now.
No.
Okay? It's a good point, and it's a good performance, and you're right. Could have won the damn thing.
Yeah.
You know? So I got to be pretty optimistic on that one. Who do you feel like played well?
Oh, it's the normal suspects, right? You know, it's Alan, it's Abdoulaye Doucouré, it's Damari Gray, it's Andros Townsend. I thought Ben Godfrey was actually decent at right back. It didn't, you know, he was probably at fault for the Anthony Martial goal. He came way too narrow, and Yuri Mina had Bruno Fernandes covered, and he didn't need to come that narrow, and it did lead to Martial having so much space. But outside of that one mistake, I thought he was fine.
Godfrey looks like he's slowly getting up.
He's getting back to fitness, you know. Yuri Mina was huge again. Clearly our best center back, Yuri Mina is. Mm-hmm. You know, probably need to pay the man, give him a contract extension.
That's what a lot of people are talking about.
So just great performances all over the pitch. You know, Jordan Pickford had a great save on Edinson Cavani on a low header down and to his right. And that was huge. It was fun. I even thought Tom Davies, when he came on, was solid, you know.
Somebody I neglected to mention in my lineup. I mentioned every damn starter, and I didn't mention somebody, one of the main people that I was hoping to talk about in the freaking game. How did I? This is just shoddy research, Jerry. But Anthony Gordon.
Yep, okay? Anthony Gordon.
If only I knew someone who had recently written an article.
Wow, or is about to write an article, finish an article anyway.
He looked pretty confident. Wasn't really giving up the ball in possession. Was taking people on. It was encouraging.
Yeah. So he was a bit timid when the match first started. He was kind of, I think he was just kind of feeling his way into the match, seeing how he was going to be able to affect, you know, down that left side, you know, taking on Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who's an excellent one-on-one defender. But he did get the better of Wan-Bissaka a couple times, and he showed pace, and obviously defensively he wasn't great. He did make a couple of trek backs and slide tackles to win possession back, but going forward I thought he was excellent, you know, showed real pace. He was physical. He wasn't getting knocked off the ball super easily, which I thought was encouraging, because he's not a huge dude. Like he's kind of a slight guy. He put in a couple of good crosses. He put in a couple stinkers too, but I mean, he's a young guy. You can't expect them all. I mean, you can't expect them all to be great. But he looked really good, and he looked like he wanted to be on the ball, and he wanted to carry it forward and get into some attacking positions. And he tried to play a couple of, you know, touch and goes with a couple other players. It was really encouraging to see him play against a high level right back like Aaron Wan-Bissaka and not look completely out of place. I think that's what you want to see out of a player who's started, you know, a handful of Premier League matches. And he's 20 years old. So,
yeah. I feel like we've all been like cheering him on, you know, we've all been hoping he'd have, you know, a few more breakthrough moments. So, anybody really struggle?
You know, honestly, I can't really say that anyone did. Mm-hmm. There was not anybody who I was like, man, I really wish we could have gotten more out of X player against Manchester United and maybe would have won. Like, mm-hmm. Decore was out of his mind. Alan had, you know, he was great. I thought everyone played their role. Maybe Solomon Rondon, I guess you could say. He's the weakest. Yeah. But even him, there were a couple moments where I'm like, that's what they want him to do, where he's just bodying up a center back, getting control and releasing somebody. There were a couple of those flashes where I'm like, that's what I want.
Absolutely.
But he is.
I agree.
This is horrible to say. I was texting with some people in an Everton group chat, and I'm like, he is slower than my dead grandma. He's so slow. I can't put into proper words how slow he is. Because there were a couple of moments where he's like, all right, he's in on goal. And it's like he took two steps and the ball is already at David De Gea. And you're like, how is that possible?
I feel like he's missing a little bit of like match savvy. You know what I mean? Like, he hasn't played in the Premier League for a while. I think there's the speed of the game, it's a little more than he's used to lately. With me trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. I agree. I think if I have to point to a player who I feel like I would have liked a little more from, I'd put him up there. Not a lot of people to put on that list, though. And if we're going to be, and that's if we're going to be really negative, I think you can point out some positives about Rondon's game for sure. But yeah, there were moments where you're kind of like a little underwhelmed. Yeah, maybe polite way of saying it. Jake,
yeah.
So vicious.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just got to be honest, you know. I don't hate him. Like, I'm not ready to bin him off or nothing, you know, but.
The thing is, I like him. I think he's a good guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think in theory, after a while, I think he's going to prove to be a decent signing in terms of why we got him. But
you know what's really funny is I was sitting there and I'm like, Cenk Tosun looks faster than he does. And I didn't even think that was possible.
You know the difference between him and Cenk, though? Cenk Tosun, like, it's just not, he has trouble holding the ball up and holding defenders off.
He does.
Premier League.
Yeah. Rondon, which is weird because he's not, I mean, like, that's the weird bit is like, Cenk Tosun's not a small dude.
He's 6 foot. I think he's 6 foot tall. I remember looking it up when we signed him because I remember getting super excited about Giroud. And I was just like, yeah, finally we're going to have a big target guy. He's going to be able to win all these 50-50s, it's going to be great. We're going to have a – and then we signed Cenk Tosun, and you watch his clips, and you're like, wow, he's a one-touch finisher. That's cool. But then I did a little research, and I was like, wow, he's not tall. Is he going to be able to win what he needs to in the air? I mean, if you watch Dominic Calvert-Lewin win, like, goal kicks.
He can jump so high. It's insane how high.
He's tall, and he can jump. And he's built bulked up so he can hold people off a bit too. Cenk Tosun just doesn't have any of that.
I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin could jump over my entire body from a flat, just jumping, boom, and over. No running, no pushing on the shoulders, just boop, boop, up and over with no problems.
I don't even think that's a bold statement. That's what's crazy.
Yeah. He's a freak of
nature. Dominic Calvert just jumps over dudes.
He's a freak of nature.
So pretty decent spirits when this one finished. Did you have any particular, like, that's my man of the match?
I do like, I think I'm trying to remember here. I think I picked Abdoulaye Doucouré as man of the match. I feel like he had the most impact on the game, although it's, I think it was like really close between him and Damari Gray. And I made an honorable mention to Jordan Pickford, because without his save on Edison Cavani, it's a loss. So
I didn't even pick a man of the match. Do I have to pick one now?
No.
That's the thing.
No, can I don't just think go? So.
Can I just sit there and applaud the team effort?
Yeah, go for it.
Why are you pressuring me, Jake? What's the deal here?
I'm not pressuring anybody. I'm not doing nothing. I'm just sitting here.
Doing nothing. I want video of you training somebody, Jake.
I don't feel like I'm a great coach. I'm gonna be honest. I just, you know, I'm better as a fighter than a coach.
I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you that's wrong. I think you probably sell yourself short on a bunch of stuff. I'll just go ahead
probably
and say it.
I
think you would be I think you would be like naturally very encouraging, actually. That's the vibe I get from you. Like, you're a pretty nurturing dude. Like, I bet you just you could like keep houseplants alive for like decades. I just get that vibe about you. And so, yeah, man. But at the same time, I feel like you like driving someone to like sit there and like work harder and everything. It'd be cool not to. I'll be like, yeah, he's yelling at me. I'm inspired, but I'm not going to take it personally because he's so nice. Just saying.
I appreciate it.
So, yeah.
But yeah.
Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, any other comments on the United match?
Not on the United match in specific, but I mean, you'll take fifth place with 13 points going into the second international break. I'm there.
Yeah.
I think in any doubts I've had about Rafa Benitez have been completely dispelled. I'm 100% in. I'm 100% behind him, and whatever he wants to do with the squad, do it. Get it done.
I mean, I'm going to still think it's a strange appointment regardless, but at the same time, homie's doing a good job. He's doing a good job. He's getting solid performances with thinned out squads, which is, to me, really damn hard because we do have a thin squad.
Yes.
It's absurd.
Yes.
So I don't know. I'm not hating on the guy. Not hating on the guy. I think he's done a good job, and he's our freaking manager. And he keeps on churning out results like that. What do you do? You know, I do think there may be some people he'll never win over.
Oh yeah, totally.
But like I said, from the very beginning, dude, you may have said something very similar. He comes in here, takes this seriously, and comes to work, and treats the club with respect, even though some people didn't treat him with respect. If he treats the situation with respect, it could go well. It could go really damn well. Okay. Anyway, so that segment's done. By the way, I faked that throw. It wasn't a real throw. It was a fake one on purpose.
You're supposed to leave him in. You're not supposed to tell him that, Jerry. You're supposed to make him believe that it was.
It's movie magic. All right, so mail time, mail bag. It's this one's got a set of balls, this mail bag. So first question, are you ready?
Yes, absolutely.
If Everton could be owned by any Hollywood star,
wow.
Who?
Oh, wow. I'm trying to think of who would be like a good owner. You can't have somebody who would like just buy it for like a vanity project and
right
disappear.
You know, like, let me just come up with a total random LeBron James. You know what I mean?
Gee.
That was just a random.
I wonder.
plucked it out of the blue.
Feel like he might have some kind of stake in some kind of team somewhere in the Premier League that is not great.
I wouldn't know.
It's not. Yeah, I don't know. That's not coming to mind. Nothing coming to mind. There's no specific reason for this answer other than I think he's just an incredibly great human being, and I feel like he would be a great owner, but I feel like Keanu Reeves would be...
What a good one.
I love that. Like, I feel like I'd love that because Keanu Reeves is such an amazing human being, and he's just very down to earth, and I think he would vibe very well with Everton supporters. So Keanu Reeves
just, is going to be my just answer. Imagine, like... him like in the owner's box, he's turned away talking to somebody, and he turns back and goes like that to the camera.
Oh man, John Wick as the owner of Everton Football Club, man.
Hey, that's a good one. I really like that one. That was not mine, but I think I will say that is on the list of ones I wish I had thought of, because I did not think of him. All right, I literally just thought of like the coolest, most awesome celebrity I could possibly conceive of. And I spit out Bill Murray.
Nice. Fun fact, actually, Bill Murray, his son was an assistant coach on the Xavier basketball team for a couple of years.
And I did know that. He was at
Xavier games all the time.
Yes, I remember. It's
hilarious. He was in Cincinnati a lot.
Very cool. Yes. Yeah. Bill Murray. That's my answer. If you don't know a lot about Bill Murray, just do some research. Just a random cool mofo.
He's a great guy. He's a great person.
All right. So second question, it's an Everton one this time.
Wow.
What's your thoughts on Everton's striker situation? And in the summer, would you sign a new one to compete with Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
Okay, the striker situation is maybe complicated to some, but I think it's kind of straightforward, where they have their guy, and he hasn't really had any major injury issues up until this toe/thigh injury thing. But it seems to be resolving itself pretty straightforwardly. And I do believe that he will come back and probably play against West Ham after the international break is over. Solomon Rondon was signed to a 2-year deal. I'm sure they'll write out that contract. I'm not sure that he is the best backup to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Personally, we've seen Lewis Dobbin come on in the last two matches. He is an immense talent. I'm not sure if he's ready to be a full-time backup to a Premier League striker. I'd like to get him out on loan. He's like 18 years old. I think I'd like to get him out on loan in January, get him a nice loan somewhere. Ellis Sims, on the other hand,
that's what I was waiting for you to say.
Ellis Sims is ready right now.
Is he? Because I was going to say one more loan like in the spring.
No, I think Ellis Sims is ready right now. From what I saw at Blackpool, he's physical. He's an excellent finisher. He's a good header of the ball. He has maybe not as much pace as Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but he is not a slow player. He has shown the ability to play for 90 minutes. He did a lot for Blackpool. And he can score goals. He's clearly got a nose for the goal. He's a big lad too. He's probably not as tall as Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I think he might be a little bit shorter. But he's a big lad. He's not going to get buoyed off.
Dude,
the ball.
He's tall.
He's
Bill
very
Sims
tall. He's very tall. And he's been a perennial goal scorer pretty much every level he stopped at. He was a good goal scorer at Blackpool. At U18 level, he was an elite level goal scorer, U23 level. He was banging them in left and right. I think right now, if he's healthy, he could be the guy.
I don't think he is right now, though.
He's not right now. He's still recovering from the foot injury that he picked up at the end of last season. But I think if he were, you could use him as your backup striker right now. They're not going to with Solomon Rondon here this season, but if Solomon Rondon kind of stays on this path, I don't know, man. I could really see them just kind of binning him off or sending him out on loan or just sticking him to the bench or wherever and just having Ellis Sims be the backup to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I think he's ready right now.
I was not going to go that far. I was going to say one more loan, preferably in the spring if he's healthy, and then give him a legit shot at, you know, with the first team to see how he could do. I mean, honestly, hearing you speak, I don't know that we need another striker
right now. No, I didn't answer that bit of the question. The answer is absolutely not. With, you know, with Ellis Sims at the club and Solomon Rondon still here, even in the next season, you don't need to buy another striker. There's no need with Lewis Dobbin waiting in the wings, heir apparent, it seems. So
just makes you nervous when you think about a long-term injury to, you know, you get worried about that kind of stuff. And you wonder like, okay, well, would we be equipped? You know, are any of those players like as good as Moise Kean?
In the Premier League? I mean,
that's an interesting question when you put it like that.
Moise Kean didn't show much in the Premier League. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, right.
So, I mean, I don't.
He also didn't get a ton of opportunities.
No, I mean, he did get like 25 plus appearances in his first season here and didn't really show a whole lot in any of those appearances. And, you know, I would say at least 5 to 10 of those were starts, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Like, I like Moise Kean. I think he's a great talent. I just think personally, he didn't want to be here, which is probably why we didn't see right. The best of him.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, to be honest with you, yeah, I think we could probably get more from Ellis Sims than we saw from Moise Kean. Personally, I'm not saying Ellis Sims is a better player than Moise Kean. That would be right now. That would be insane to say. But
yeah, I was like, don't open yourself up like that, Jake.
No. He's not a better player than Moise Kean. All the Juventus fans can leave me alone. I really like Moise Kean, and I wish he would have worked here, but he didn't.
So. Yeah, I'm going to temporarily say I don't really want any striker temporarily. Like having this conversation and thinking about having healthy Ellis Sims, in addition to Rondon and DCL, and the fact that Richarlison can play the role as well, there's possibilities. So, yeah, I agree with you. I just don't know if Sims is completely ready yet. But, again, these are opinions. We don't even know. No one knows. Not even Ellis Sims knows. Last question before we wrap up. Least favorite Disney film?
Oof. That's a good question. Least favorite Disney film? I don't really like Hercules. I'm not really a fan of Hercules. I think also the Jungle Book. I'm not really a fan of the Jungle Book either. I think that's
the old school one. The old one.
Yeah, the old one.
Because the new one, live action, is actually good.
Yeah, the old school Jungle Book. I'm like, it's not really my thing. I'll go with the Jungle Book. Not a huge fan of the Jungle Book.
I am gonna probably make some enemies here.
Oh wow.
I don't. Although the music's great. I don't really care all that much for Beauty and the Beast.
Huh.
There's some things like when I watch it, there's just certain characters I'm like, and you're likable. How? You know? Oh, you look down on other people, you know? There's just a bunch of stuff that I don't like
Yeah.
About some of the ways that that movie goes down.
Yeah.
So yeah, just annoying. So yeah. Anyway.
For sure.
I went a little more, you know, normally it's like, oh, I just didn't like it because I thought it was annoying. You know what I mean? It wasn't my reason at all. You know? All right. I think we're done, dude. I think that is the end of the show. So Jake, really quick, do you have any shout outs you need to throw?
Yeah, I'm going to shout out all three of our fighters. Nick, who was, it was his first ever amateur bout, and he won in 13 seconds, just knocked the block off the dude. Like, it was crazy. We were going wild.
Holy hell.
Yeah, he's really good, and he's a great guy. Shout out to Ethan. Shout out to Ethan. He went three rounds, and it was a tight fight, but he pulled it out, and he was really, really tough. And that guy, man, he just goes forever. And shout out to Willie B, the new amateur champ, baby. New amateur champ. He man, he had a 5-round war with the guy. It was back and forth, it was touch and go, and he ended up finishing them in the 5th round, and it was really cool. So shout out to all three of those fighters, man. They're amazing, and I can't wait to see them fight again.
That is freaking cool. I'm just gonna say it. That's so freaking cool. One of these days, we're gonna lead off the show, and you're gonna tell me how you got into this MMA stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't tell me yet.
Deal.
I want stories. I think it's fascinating.
Okay? Deal.
Because it is so far from my life experience. So yeah, I need to learn. All right. Very cool. All right. So also for everybody else out there, Jake's got Anthony Gordon story coming out soon on the Toughy Blues website, so be on the lookout. Right. Speaking of which, here's the Toughy Blues plug. For those of you watching, listening, whatever, and if you're digging what you're watching and listening, please subscribe to the Toughy Blues YouTube channel and or podcast. We'd really appreciate it. Please follow the Toughy Blues on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and also check out the Toughy Blues website, where you'll see cool stuff like Jake's, like a story on Anthony Gordon, and also some other stuff by some other cool guys who they're all Evertonians. They're nice. You'll like them. No, you know, it'll be like a warm blue hug, and not in a creepy way either. More like in a cousin you haven't seen in a lot of years kind of hug.
Yeah.
So, all right. And I guess that's it. We're done. I'm going to go see how the game's going.
Yes. Probably turn on some playoff baseball here. We're going to watch the Rays and Red Sox go at it.
The Raisins.
Rays, the Rays. The Rays and Red Sox.
Queens Park Raisins. we miss LVG. But yeah, the Rays and the Red Sox, huh? My buddy's a Yankees fan, and he's not happy. Not happy at all.
Yeesh. So, yeah.
All right. So, Jake, much love to you, dude. Take care.
Yes, thank you so much.
Good luck through the international break.
No injuries, no injuries, no injuries, no injuries.
Yeah. Just close your eyes. Try to go numb. It'd be like freezing to death. maybe you make it out alive.
So, yes.
Good luck, everybody. Much love to everybody. Let's talk soon. All right.
See you guys.
Jake, take it easy, man.
Yeah, you too.